Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Sound booth, people, I love you, and I've decided that the Holy Spirit has told me to preach something different than what I gave you. All right. So the Holy Spirit's been at work this whole week, apparently, because it's not on the screens anyway. So, yeah. All right. Well, I guess that confirms what the Holy Spirit was telling me. So here we go. I've been thinking about this week. I've been thinking about it in my life. And so the sermon I preach to you today is not only for you. It always is for me. But it really is truly for me as well. You know, the last couple of weeks, several weeks, we were focusing on the end of the church year, and we talk about preparation, and now we're in Advent, we talk about preparation, and I've been looking at my sermons, and I keep saying the same thing to you: be prepared for Jesus to come, be in the Word, be in the sacrament, be in worship, be in all of these things, and that's great, but the reality is, those things are true, but there's a whole lot more to being prepared. And what I started realizing is that in our human condition of sinfulness, Satan works overtime. He works really overtime in our sinful human condition, especially this time of year, and I notice around Easter time too, he really works hard because he wants us to lose focus of what really is going on. He intentionally wants us to lose focus of the fact that Jesus is coming into our world, that Jesus has come into our world. And in Advent, we also celebrate that Jesus is going to come into our world again to save us once and for all and rescue us. So I started thinking about this. What do we really mean by being prepared? What does it really look like to be prepared for the Son of God to come into our lives, to celebrate Christmas? And so I started thinking about this, and you know what? Some of us need a good dose of the law. We do. Because the reality is, one of the things that happens this time of the year is we get so wrapped up in preparing for Christmas, baking and wrapping and shopping, that we lose sight of what Christmas is really about. The other thing I see this time of the year is I love going into the stores, which I really don't. That's sarcasm, sorry. Because the rudest people shop at the stores at Christmas time, and Christians can be some of the meanest people to the sales clerks. That's reality, isn't it? And then I look at other things, and I see the fact that even in my own heart, you know, I hold grudges sometimes. Do any of you hold grudges? And it seems like right around Christmas, those grudges really like to come out, especially for the people who have hurt me in my past. Especially for the people who have hurt me in my past. Those grudges really like to come out. And those grudges are from Satan. Now, we may not like the people in our past. That doesn't mean we don't love them, but we may not like them. We don't have to like them. That's the reality. Jesus says love each other. He doesn't say like each other, right? And there's a difference between like and love. Sometimes you love your spouse. There are times you don't like your spouse. I always like my spouse. She doesn't always like me, though. I can promise you that. But the reality is these grudges come into our lives and we hold them. And what happens is it blocks us from being able to celebrate the true grace and the meaning of the season, right? And then there are some of us who have personalities, and I tend to be one of these, that like to tease sometimes, and sometimes we get so anxious about things and so fast about things that we lose our sensitivity to others and we say things off the cuff or we hurt people and we don't mean to. But the reality is, and this is a reality, and we need to understand this as Christians, that to offer offense to somebody is a sin. Now, on the flip side of the coin, Scripture teaches that to take offense is also a sin. But the reality is that happens. And it seems like this time of the year it's even increased because there again is Satan wanting us to be blinded from the very fact of what's going on, and that's Jesus entering into our world. Now, sometimes it doesn't involve actual sinfulness on our part. We're all good at being sinners, right? The greed, the grudges, the self-centeredness, the lies, the whatever it may be that comes into our lives, right? But a lot of times it's other things too. Christmas is hard for a lot of people. It's hard. I was just thinking last night. I was sitting in my living room and I started thinking. I didn't tell my wife this, but she'll hear it now. I don't enjoy decorating for Christmas anymore. I don't. Because when you don't have kids, it means nothing. What kind of attitude is that? But it's hard. Christmas is hard when you've lost a kid. It's hard when you've lost your spouse. It's hard when you've lost a loved one. And that too is Satan working in our lives, not causing us to sin, but working in our lives so that we don't see the hope of what Jesus does when he comes into the world as a tiny baby. Because the whole reason he comes into the world as a tiny baby is to assure us that we're going to go to heaven and that we'll be with our loved ones again. But he blocks us from seeing that and causes the chaos of the season to keep us from growing in that hope. This is what he does, right? Or we have a sick loved one. Or we have financial problems. And we can't buy people the gifts we want to buy them. Or we can't pay our bills. All of these things, my friends, are ways in which Satan comes into our lives, and he does it so well and masterfully at this time of the year. And let's be honest, this time of the year, mental illness is at its highest point. We don't want to talk about that. It makes us uncomfortable, and heaven forbid we admit that we all have issues. But mental illness is at its highest point this time of year. Whether it be seasonal affective disorder, which we get a lot of sun here, but when we lived in Buffalo, let me tell you, you didn't get a lot of sun. There were a lot of depressed people, and you didn't want to be on the roads with them. It was dangerous. But the reality is mental illness is at its highest point this time of year. Whether it's PTSD or depression or whatever it is, it's at its highest point. Why do you think that is? Because of the stress and chaos of the season. But not only that, it's because Satan wants to attack us harder so that we don't see the hope of Jesus, the royal noble guest coming into our world. That's what he wants. That's what he desires from us. He drudges up our past. He drudges up our hurts. He drudges up our grudges. He drudges up the worst parts of our personality. He drudges up our sin. He drudges up our mental illness. He does all of that. He does all of that because he has a direct attack to our lives to keep us from being prepared for Jesus. Now, I want you to listen for a second to what Isaiah says. Isaiah says in his word that Jesus is going to come and make every valley low and every valley high and every mountain low to make things level. Brothers and sisters, that's a promise that he's making to you. He's doing that to give you a level path to walk on in life. A path of hope, a path of joy, a path of forgiveness, a path that leads to true joy in this world. That's why Jesus came. We have overcome Satan. We have overcome his attacks. We have overcome the power of the devil. We just said it when we did our second confession of the second article of the Creed and its meaning. We've overcome the power of Satan. We have. The hustle and bustle of the season, the work of Satan means nothing to you and me as Christians because we are called to prepare. And in preparing, we're called to walk this level path that Jesus has already made for us, a path of righteousness, a path of perfection, a path where he wraps his loving arms around us and says, you are healed, you are restored, find your life in me now. Find it abundantly in me now. Live in joy now. Live in peace now. Live in harmony now. Because it belongs to you now. Right? What a beautiful message as Jesus comes into our lives. And then he says, we won't have to worry or fear anymore because everything will be smooth. Fear and worry, boy, those things come into our lives too, don't they? I didn't mention those, but fear comes into our lives. I'm a worrywart and a fearmonger. I fear all the time that I'm going to make people mad and they're not going to like me. That's my people-pleasing. I worry all the time about something. You tell me something, I'll worry about it. It might even be about me. I'll worry about you. That's from Satan. Those things are from Satan. It's opposite of God. It's opposite of love, right? And Jesus says, I come so you don't have to do that. I come to lift your anxieties from you. I come to lift your burdens from you. I come to lift your worries from you so that you may have my peace. Jesus would come, Isaiah says, to bring forgiveness to his people and pay double for their sins. Not did he pay singly for our sins, he paid doubly for our sins. He paid doubly for our sins by dying on the cross for us and shedding his blood. He paid doubly for our sins when he was tempted in every way that we are tempted, but lived a perfect righteous life so that we would be perfect. He paid doubly for our sins in his descent into hell. He paid doubly for our sins when he rose from the dead to assure you and me that we're going to go to heaven, that we will see our loved ones again, that we will live without any more tears, any more sorrow, any more worry, or any more burden. Because Jesus is the king and the royal noble who brings that hope into our world, and that hope cannot fade or be taken away. He's paid double for our sins. He would bring good news to dying people. Guess what? You are dying people. I am dying people. If the day we were born, we were dying. Sorry to tell you that. What good news. But we are because of sin. But we don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of dying. Because the good news that Jesus brings is, even though you die in this world, you will pass to the grave into the eternal entrance and kingdom of heaven forever. Forever. Do you see how Christmas and Easter tie together? That's why Jesus came. So that we could look forward to the hope of Easter. The fact that we will live with him forever. And he says in Isaiah, he would be their shepherd. One of the jobs of a shepherd is to protect the sheep, right? Jesus protects us. He protects us. Sometimes we don't allow him to protect us. We'll talk about that in a second. But he does. The shepherd feeds us. He feeds us with word and sacrament. He nourishes us. He cares for our souls. The reality is, if we want to get down to the bottom of preparing for Advent, for Jesus, there's one word that comes to mind, and that is absolute, complete surrender. Our culture and society doesn't like the word surrender because we've used it in military ways that we don't like. But the actual word surrender comes from a Latin term that really means join the winning side. And that's what Jesus is asking from us. To join his side, to give up ourselves, to cast our fears and our worries, anxieties, our burdens, our sins, our hearts, our lives, our souls, our grudges, and so forth and so on, to cast it all on him. Brothers and sisters, listen to that invitation. To cast it all on him. Not to hold it for yourself. Not to keep it in your life, but to cast it all on him. And he will give you peace. Advent calls us to surrender. Going back to the theology of the cross, remember, the vertical relationship is our relationship between God and us. The horizontal relationship is our relationship to each other. It's in that vertical relationship where we fall at the bottom of the cross like a vessel, a clay pot that God has made. And in that clay pot, he continues to fill us every day with grace and love and mercy, kindness, forgiveness, and eternal life. And eventually, what happens when a bowl fills up? It overflows and reaches out to other people around us. And that's part of this Advent preparation too. We aren't going to go into too much of that today because I want this sermon to be more for you, but that's important. Here's the reality. When we allow this world, when we allow our past, when we allow our grudges, when we allow our burdens to get into the way of our life and our preparedness with Jesus, we form a blockage. And you've heard me talk about this. The heart can function with a blockage, right? For those of you that have had stents or open heart surgery, the heart can function, but it's dangerous. Because if the blockages increase, what eventually happens to the heart? It stops. It's the same with God's grace. We put blockages in the way. God never stops pouring his grace out into our lives. He never stops. We put the blockages in the way. We put them in the way, and eventually, if we continue to put the blockages in the way, we lose the grace. We are the ones who lose it. God doesn't give up. We lose it. And so Advent, being prepared, is a time that calls us to step back and to really examine our hearts and lives and say, Lord, what blockages have I put in place? Lord, I surrender those blockages to you. Remove them. And Jesus, as our Savior, swoops into our hearts and our lives, and those blockages are gone like the snap of a finger. And he says, I love you, my dear child. I love you more than you can know. May my peace and my joy resound in your heart and in your life. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.